What about it, punk? Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You're about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
All right, guys, we got 14-0 Stan here. And we got the River Rat, Vic, on the podcast tonight. And we're going to continue with our bold predictions and very extensive knowledge that these two guys have of the Auburn football scene. Without further ado, let's hit recruiting. Vic, give us a rundown on what's happened this week.
Well, not a whole lot really happened this week as far as commitments or anything like that, Keith. But now we got a lot of news fixing to shake out as far as that's going to have a big impact on finalizing our class. We've got Trey Matthews, who is supposedly bringing his family with him next weekend. That's a Georgia commitment that, you know, has said all along that he wants to play with Reuben Foster. And, you know, it looks like that there's a good chance that that still may happen. And so it wouldn't surprise me after next weekend to see a possible decommitment from Georgia and a commitment to Auburn. That would be huge news. We got Jayron Kearse, who was a one-time Auburn commitment, then a once-Miami commitment that right now is not committed to anybody, that is supposed to be announcing on Friday what his plans are. That looks good for the good guys, and we'll see how that shakes out. I think that one's down to us and Clemson, basically. And then, of course, we've got a lot of good feelings still about Montrevious Adams. And then the other thing is these two big-time running backs, Derek Green and Greg Bryant Jr. Things look good that maybe one of those guys are going to wind up at Auburn. Could be hearing something on that any time now. I think those guys have basically been told that whoever commits first will be the guy that we take. Of course, I don't know that for sure, but that's the way it seems like it may be playing out to me. You know anything on that, Stan?
I haven't heard anything, Vic, as far as, you know, which one, if it is a first-come, first-served kind of deal. Wow. Now, one thing I did want to mention, and I'm sure you followed this a little bit this weekend, about the that elite, you know, the 7-on-7 tournament they had where our Auburn commitment, is it Jeremy Johnson?
That is right.
He just... I mean, apparently, and the other kid from McGill Toulon,
Jason Smith.
Both, but boy, Jeremy Johnson just, I mean, he was just lighting it up. I mean, it was just a ridiculous number of touchdowns he threw. And Carver had a pretty good run in the tournament. I think, now, did Hoover win it?
Yeah, Hoover wound up winning it, sure did.
But I don't think there's any question that people that were, I saw a few comments from some different boards where people, you know, were there attending, and they were really impressed with the Johnson kid, and even, you know, the
now, guys, here again, my ignorance. Let me ask a question here for maybe the audience that we might pick up later. And I've seen a little bit about the 7-on-7, but how did that get started? And tell me a little bit about what that is.
Vic, I'll turn that over to you because I've seen a little bit of that the last few years. I don't know where the genesis of it. I mean, how it began, and I'm sure it was camp driven as far as you know. I mean, it was something that
High school teams are allowed 7 playing dates during the summer, so like the coaches usually will pick, you know, certain camps to go to to use up those days. And you know, the 7-on-7 passing camps has turned into a very, very popular thing for high school teams to do. So it allows you to get a lot of work in on your passing game because that's basically all it is. It's, you know, it's passing game. And then, your defensive guys get to get out there and try to defend the passing game. So it's really good. It's a good experience. You know, this one at Hoover now has grown into probably the biggest one in the country. They had teams from all over the country at this thing. You know, most of them from the southeast, but you had some teams coming from pretty good distances to participate in that. And, you know, it's not like just anybody can show up. You know, you have to be one of the better teams, traditionally one of the bigger teams and or have some big recruits, you know, for you to get invited to that thing. So you had all kinds of big-time players there. And so it's not like he was putting up those numbers, Stan, against you know, just any old body. You know, these are some really outstanding high school teams that he was doing that against. And so it's incredibly impressive, you know, that he was consistently putting up the good numbers. Of course, you know, like I said, it is a passing camp, and it is a little bit of a advantage to the offense and that kind of deal. But the thing about it is, you know, he's doing it against good players. And just from what I read about it and everything, is like, you know, they were going on and on about how well he was throwing the deep ball, how quickly he was going through his progressions and making the right decisions and those kinds of things. And it's one of those things where a lot of people want to put the project label on this guy, and I don't think that's really fair. That guy's already, a big-time quarterback, you know. So I'm not saying he's coming in and taking over after, you know, a year or two. But, I mean, I think he's no more of a project than anybody else out there that's a project, you know. Guys can come in and start right away, you know.
The reason I wouldn't think that that's the case at all, I mean, the one thing we've got in Scott Leffler, if there's a better OC / quarterback coach in the country, and I'm not saying he's the only guy and just because he's Auburn, but, I mean, if you look at this guy's resume, I mean, I think Auburn people, they know it, but they should be reminded. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, got injured at Michigan, was playing with Tom Brady, was there, and was good enough, I guess, for Lloyd Carr to say, hey, I want you to coach. I want you to, you know, at least assist with, you know, the quarterback development there. And he's gone on and coached, you know, with the Detroit Lions. He coached Tebow, Florida. I mean, Scott Leffler knows quarterbacks. I mean, he was one, and by most accounts, Vic, he would have been. I read something where I think Coach Carr was talking about, he thought that Scott Leffler would have been a pretty good quarterback had he not gotten injured. So, I mean, this is a guy that could do it, and obviously he's been successful as a coach. If we're primarily, you know, and I heard that one of the reasons we were maybe not going to recruit any of those Penn State, you know, that Penn State commit, I guess signee or commitment, I guess it's commitment that's so good, was because they didn't, you know, they felt like they had their guy, Carver quarterback. So, if they're talking about project, I don't know where the project part of it would be. I mean, obviously he's still in high school, but this guy's got a big time arm and very athletic. So I'm pretty happy with the guy.
The question is, does he throw as hard as Cam Newton?
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because apparently the
one
guy
Kyle Frazier. No, does he throw as hard as Kyle Frazier?
Well, that's where Vic's headed. I mean, and I know a lot of people, you know, laugh at that. And it's not all about being a Nolan Ryan throwing it that hard at quarterback, but it certainly starts with being able to make all the throws.
Exactly.
Then you've got to just know when to put touch and your progressions and that kind of thing. But you certainly, and Vic, you know, we've had guys at Auburn that we loved and they were competitors, but maybe – you know, they couldn't, you know, break the glass window, as people used to say. So, but, I mean, what I'm hearing about Kyle Frazier, I don't think arm strength is going to be this guy's issue, if he has an issue.
I agree.
I've had some friends of mine, that pointed out, you know, when I told them I made my big, bold 14-0 prediction, you know, who's your quarterback? You don't even have a quarterback. Well, I think it's going to be Kyle Frazier. Everything I've seen in this summer leads me to believe that. I mean, this guy was a Gatorade. I mean, people, again, need to remember, he was one of the top high school quarterbacks in the country, and it was from throwing the football. He was throwing the football, and I understand it was Arkansas High School, but he did as much as you could do at that level. Gus Malzahn, you know, signed him. He was good enough as a true freshman to get on the field last year. I mean, how many true freshmen, you know, get out on the field and play even in a limited role? So, and he showed that he could run the football when everybody knew he wasn't going to throw it last year.
That's true. That is true.
So, I mean, we know the kid can run. He's got athleticism. If Emory Blake's to be believed, he can put the ball where he needs to when he needs to. Certainly experience is going to make him, he'll get better every game. And I think he will. And I think by the end of the season, you'll see why we signed him and why we're successful, you know, one of the reasons why we'll be successful.
Sam, when we hang up from this podcast, man, would you pick up the phone and call Coach Chizik and tell him to go ahead and name Kyle Frazier the starting quarterback?
I will. I'll have to look through my numbers. I'm not sure I've got Coach Chizik's on my number on my short list, but I'll look it up.
I think if y'all just say it out loud, I mean, it's recorded, I'm sure he'll listen in this week.
Well, I'm sure Coach Chizik,
a good point, Keith.
I'm sure Coach Chizik values mine and Vic's opinion. Don't you think, Vic?
If he's not a wise man if he don't, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, I mean, that's not to say that Clint Mosley is going to compete, and that's what most of the things you read. Clint's arm was hurt, and so I just don't think – I'll be shocked if Clint overall athletically will be able to beat out Kyle for the job. But if he does, it's like you said, Vic, he's my guy. I like Clint Mosley. If he ends up being that darn good during fall camp, then – I'm ready to go 14-0 with that guy, if that's what it takes. But, that would surprise me. That would be one of the things that really would surprise me.
Well, I agree. Yeah. So I think when you get ready to talk about position battles, then that's one I think that we can already say that we're both in the Kyle Frazier camp, and that's going to be that's the big one going into this fall camp as far as, who's going to win that battle. But I think just from everything that you read, I think the writing's on the wall for Clint, that he's got an uphill battle, to say the least, if he's going to beat out Kyle Frazier, So it'd be interesting to see.
Well, he's going to have to – Clint's got to improve. Clint's going to have to be – his arm's going to have to be there, And, again, that put him a little behind. Obviously, in the spring, he had some issues with some pain, and he's going to have to be able to throw the ball, and the deep ball and the out route and all of them. I think he's going to have to be able to run the football some, because again, all things being equal, Kyle Frazier can tuck it, and he may not be Cam Newton, but he can be an effective quarterback running the football. So for Clint to win it, he can do it, but Clint will be playing at a level that'll shock us, I think, if he's a starter.
Right. I agree.
And there are some other big battles we talked off air. The offensive line is obviously going to be a huge, area of concern, I guess, as you get started, just because we have so many young guys there. Reese Dismukes at center is as good as there is around. He's already on some watch lists, and the guy's a sophomore. So I think he's solid there. I think most people think Greg Robinson at the left tackle is pretty much penciled in. Chad Slade's going to play somewhere, Vic. It'll either be one of the guard positions or move out to maybe right tackle. I'm interested to see what Christian Westerman can do. I saw a thing where his dad was commenting that he is just a weight room warrior. The guy's up, bench pressing 500 pounds. That's a lot of weight. I think there'll be some battles on that offensive line. And that's probably being an ex-old offensive lineman myself is where I'm most interested in.
Right. Well, and, of course, there's some concerns over, is Eric Mack, I know physically that he's healed, and, you just have to wonder whether or not, there's any lasting effects of what he's gone through this
right.
summer. But obviously, he was a highly recruited guy out of South Carolina and somebody who has a lot of potential himself, So that's, I don't think we're in any kind of trouble at all, no matter who wins that battle. And then, where do you put Chad Slade? Where does he fit in there? But, you're talking about a lot of talented guys that are very athletic guys. Not tons of experience, Stan. Some of those guys are kind of lacking in the experience area. How does that impact us early in the year? Is it gonna hurt us?
Well, and that is big. Playing, starting out, and I've said all along, the Clemson game is so huge for my and more than just the obvious ha ha. You don't beat Clemson. Obviously, you don't go 14-0. But to me, that is a real. It's a team that's going to be favored over us, who is thinking that they're going to have another ACC champion-level team. They've got that Boyd and Watkins may be available. Ellington, the big-time running back. They went out and hired Brent Venables to run their defense. Obviously, playing Clemson is that's biting off a lot. It may not be as marquee as, say, Alabama playing Michigan. But Clemson, I think is going to be expected to play really well. So, you know, you go into Georgia Dome with new coordinators. I mean, that's any, you know, I mean, I'd have to admit that's anything but just a, you know, a mailed-in victory.
Right.
But it's, if we do what I think we're going to do and play much more aggressive on defense, this offense is going to be kind of an unknown. I'm really excited about the fullback that's eligible. If we're able to win that game and look solid, I mean, why not? Auburn is I mean, it's not like LSU and Alabama don't have some of their own question marks. I mean, I know Coach Saban's done a great job over there recruiting, but you lose as many guys as they did. That's not, you don't just automatically, without experience themselves, just step on and beat people.
I agree.
LSU's got
Let's
a
talk
new
about
quarterback.
Another. Go ahead. That's right. They do.
And he won't have, you know, really faced, you know, he'll have played Washington. And that's a game, Vic, I'm going to be very interested in seeing. You know, that Justin Wilcox, who was Tennessee's defensive coordinator, now is at Washington. You know, he was one of the young, hot names, you know, as in the D.C. world. And now he's going to be at Washington. It'll be interesting to see what he throws at him and how much success LSU. You know, if LSU just whitewashes the Huskies, you know, I'll probably be a little more nervous about, even more than just normal, when LSU rolls in. But, you know, and they lost Claiborne. Everybody talks about the Honey Badger, but I think that Claiborne guy at corner was maybe the best player on that defense. And he's now in the NFL. So, you know, coming into Auburn again, I'm not so foolish that I don't see the wisdom in picking LSU and Alabama and that kind of thing, but I don't see LSU just coming in and us just rolling over. Not this team, not with the attitudes I've seen, and again, with the new coaching, the new, you know, enthusiasm. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. I tell you, it'll be interesting to see. You know, we started talking about position battles, and I think we have some other ones that's going to be interesting to see how they play out. Some of them we've talked about a little bit in the past. We're talking about the running back position. You know, I think everybody agrees Ontario McCaleb can't be your every down back. You know, obviously, I think Coach Malzahn did a nice job utilizing his skills, and I think Coach Leffler will also. But as far as being the every down back, I don't think you see that. You know, so, you know, you got some guys that are coming in there that, you know, that'll be battling for that so-called top tailback spot, you know, whether it's going to be Trey Mason, Mike Blakely, or
Corey Grant.
And then, of course, you know, you got the freshman coming in, Javon Robinson. You know, that's four-star recruits. Of course, you know, Trey Mason, I guess, with the upper hand simply because he was there and got some playing time last year. But, you know, how do you see that one shaking out, Stan?
Well, I mean, I think Trey Mason, it's going to be kind of Trey Mason's to lose to start with, at least as far as maybe penciling in who's the starter. Now, everything I've read, and I honestly believe you're going to probably see three tailbacks get a lot of work. You know, I think Mason and Blakely and Grant, you know, as far as maybe the eye position, I still think O'Mac will be, I think you'll see him in some different kind of roles. Maybe we'll throw the ball more to him out of the backfield. You know, again, at 170, 175 pounds, O'Mac's probably not going to be. Of course, again, Vic, following Jay Proche,
the hole's going to be big enough. Anybody can get through there.
That's
right.
You're
not going to have to take
a hit. One thing O'Mac's got is, and he's shown the whole time he's been at Auburn, if he gets on the corner, if he gets a seam, he's gone. I mean, he's got talent and he's got speed. But I think far as the bulk, you know, I've read where Trey Mason has really worked with Coach Yachts this summer and is, you know, maybe getting closer to that 205, 210 mark. You know, pretty muscular. You know, I mean, I think he's going to be a tough. I mean, he ran a kickoff back. He's pretty elusive. I think Mason's going to probably be tough to beat out. But, again, Blakely, like you said, I mean, Mike Blakely was almost as big a recruit from Florida like Mike Dyer was when we got him from Arkansas. Corey Grant, from what I read, has not done anything to hurt his chances. He's
right.
I mean, gotten bigger and stronger. So, again, skill players – I don't know that we've had, you know, you just keep naming, you know, off these guys. And, you know, it's just a matter of which one of the guys is going to step up and be the guy.
Right.
So
and
you know,
Of course, you mentioned Michael Dyer's name. Did you see today where he's been kicked off at Arkansas State?
No, I did not see that. Now, I had seen where he was thinking
about
going
to
that.
He has been dismissed from Arkansas State. Yeah, he was thinking about going to Pittsburgh State or something like that so he could play this year, but then decided that he would stay at Arkansas State. Coach Malzahn had to kick him off for violating team rules. Supposedly that happened today. So that guy
Mike Dyer, if you're out there and if you're among the, at least initially, the handful listening to us somehow, I mean, Vic, I just don't get, I mean, this guy has all the, I mean, pick up a book by Zig Ziglar, Mike. I mean, get positive. I mean, dude, you can be playing on Sunday, taking care of your family for, you know, the rest of your life and theirs financially, if you'll just get in there, work hard, humble yourself, and go for it. I don't get it with these guys, Vic. I really don't.
I don't either. It's hard to understand. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, that guy had a great chance to be the all-time leading rusher at Auburn. And it's like, you know, we've had some great backs at Auburn. You know, this guy had a chance to be the all-time leading rusher in Auburn history. I mean, first of all, blowing that. And then, you know, Coach Malzahn giving you an opportunity up there in your home state, and now blowing that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, it's terrible. Because, honestly, like you said, he would have broken Bo's 4,300 yards. I mean, he had 1,000-plus. I mean, he's poised for another big year, unless he had gone out after his junior year, which he could have probably done at Auburn.
Right.
I mean, if he kept his nose clean and did everything right, I mean, he's probably an All-American this year here, and maybe he goes first round. I mean, he's got that kind of ability.
Right.
And to just throw it away. I mean, I hope somebody like that Pittsburgh, you know, I hope they'll give him a chance, and I hope somebody will sit down with him. Maybe he can call back Chet Williams, one of the best guys in our program, obviously, to try to help guys. Coach Williams, if you're listening, maybe you can call Mike and get him on the phone and tell the guy, you know, what he's wasting here. But anyway, back to Auburn. I mean, again, we're fortunate to have about as crowded a backfield as you would really want. I mean, like you say,
well,
Vic,
I think Coach Leffler has a good plan for those guys. You know, I'm hearing positive things there. And you know, to be honest with you, when you have a backfield that's stacked with talent like what we have, you know, and then you're continuing to recruit, you know, highly talented, highly skilled guys, you know, you want to be able to show them, hey, we're going to use all of you, you know. So if those guys learn the playbook and do what they have, and I hope they can share the load a little bit, you know, and let everybody participate. I think that just helps recruiting down the road, you know. So,
I mean, I just think that this offensive line, which will be young, will be extremely talented in every position. I mean, you think about it, like you said about Kendall Mack, Christian Westerman, Chad Slade, how good he is. Even a John Sullen, who now is a senior, and I mean, he's huge. And I hear that he may have a tough, I mean, maybe tough getting him out of the starting lineup. So,
right.
And then, you know, then you're bringing in all that, you know, the guys that we signed this year to add depth. I mean, that offensive line is going to be talented if not experienced, okay.
Right.
But man for man, we're going to be putting guys, they'll be putting hats on people that's had as much ability as we've had. You know, running behind maybe arguably, if he stays healthy, who knows, maybe one of the best fullbacks we'll have had at Auburn. So, I mean, I just don't think it's – I mean, I think you have to give Coach Chizik and Coach Taylor and Coach Looper and those guys credit for the kids they brought in. I mean, the talent is at Auburn.
There's no doubt about it. And, of course, you know, two guys that were still waiting to get in, Jaquay Williams and Darian Hutchinson, you know, those guys – Stan, I was reading the other day where Hutchinson is up to 6'8". 272 pounds. Is it possible he's going to be another offensive lineman? You know, we signed seven in this class. If he grows into an offensive lineman, that's eight. You know, of course, there's a good chance we're not signing any this year. So I would imagine probably four or five of those guys will redshirt. Even though they're extremely talented, I would think that they would want to redshirt them so that, you know, we're not going a whole year without a freshman class of
right.
of offensive linemen. But 6'8", 272, tied in, and not even on campus yet.
I think the best place for him right off the bat, Vic, is to walk over to Coach Barbie.
that guy's
ready to place powers forward in the SEC in basketball if he's got.
Well,
yeah, I mean that's
and
just
think
that's
about
just
basketball,
amazing.
Jeremy Johnson, you know, who put on such a show with the 7-on-7 passing camp at Hoover, they say he's a better basketball player probably than he is a football player. You know, that guy's unbelievable.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. He was in that North-South game. Him and Jason Smith were both on that basketball team from the South, played in the North game. I think Jeremy Johnson was the leading scorer for the South, and he's incredibly talented basketball player. So, and you know, he actually wants to try to do both sports at Auburn.
If he's that good, Auburn, I mean, we'll let him. I mean, Charlie Ward did. I mean, we're bound to be able to do something.
So,
that is amazing. I didn't realize the Hutchinson guy.
6'8". Now, you know, he's got a little work left to get in campus. Him and Jaquay both. You know, Jaquay, I was probably more excited about him than Ricardo Lewis, but now I'm telling you, I'm hearing great things about Ricardo Lewis. And that wide receiver spot opposite Emory Blake, you know, is one of those position battles that we need to talk about a little bit. You know, it's one of those things where does D'Angelo Benton ever live up to his hype? Does Trevon Reed live up to his hype? Sammy Coates, who was so talked about, Jalen Denson.
Well, I mean, those
who's
three right
play
there,
that spot?
I mean, wait a minute, Vic. Those three guys right there, though. I mean, I've heard everything about Coates. Personally, Trevon Reed has got to go 80 or something for me one time. I mean, I don't know that I was any more ever excited about a recruit than when I was reading the things about him. And I know he's had some injuries. And even Benton. I mean, Benton's one of those guys. What? I mean, he's a little bit older because of sitting out a year or whatever it was. I mean, I think he's close to like 22, 23 already. And he's got size. I'm thinking if I'm, you know, D'Angelo Benton, this is his chance to play on Sundays is to get out there and have a huge year. I mean, he's about 6'3". Again, I mean, it's time for him to step up. So, I like having the problem.
Yeah, it's amazing the guys that we have there right now. But now, like I said, somebody's got to step up and be the guy and prove that they can be the guy. You know, Sammy Coates had a couple drops in the spring game. You know, D'Angelo Benton had a couple bad drops last year. You know, that's just one of those things that can't happen. You know, you got to catch the ball when it's thrown your way, when it hits you in the hands. And, you know, hopefully somebody's going to do that. But I'm telling you, the guy to watch out for is Ricardo Lewis. They're saying that guy is a man, and he is going to play somewhere. Now, we'll see. You know, those other guys are talented, and they've been there, and they know. Of course, we continue to hear good things about Trevon Reed. They keep acting like he's going to have that breakout year this year. And the guy is just going to be a sophomore, you know. So it's one of those things where maybe – and Quan Bray. Now, Quan Bray's got all the talent in the world. There's so many guys that have the ability to do it. It's just a matter of who's going to step up. And be the guy. Right. But if you had to pick one right now, who are you picking? Who's going to be starting opposite Emory Blake?
I don't know. I mean, I'd probably have to say, are you saying two or three receivers in the game at that time? I'd probably have
to. Well, if you got a tight end and you got pros
in
Lutz, the game.
I mean, what are you going to say about Lutz? I mean, this guy's going first round in the NFL if he doesn't get hurt, isn't he?
I think so.
Lutz
looks like he has that kind of ability.
I mean, just about everybody's saying he's as good a tight end as they've seen in a while.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. And then I was reading some stuff that Coach Leffler, the tight end position is one that he really, you know, he really likes to throw to. I'm sure Lutz and even that Ricky Parks kid coming in as a freshman.
Right.
But, you know, Fultz and what is it, you know, Uzma that was
right.
a – I mean, he's been
yeah, –
he's
those
moved,
are
I mean,
talented guys. Guys, man. We got too many players.
We do.
Too many good players. What are we going to do with them all? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how many good players we have. I guess other teams have good players, too, but I think we have better players that are just not proven yet. And, you know, I mean, we're deep. We're deep. We've got a lot of good – you start talking about tight end position. Yeah, Lutz and Kirkin. Now, obviously, you know, those guys haven't done it yet, but, you know, they're high on Fultz and they're high on Uzuma and they're high on – Ricky Parks, and of course Darian Hutchins still has to get in, but I mean he's a guy that they were incredibly high on too. I mean, so I don't know. It's the deepest Auburn. It's the most talented Auburn team I think I've seen in my lifetime. Now, you know, again, they got to go out there and they got to do
it. They got to do it.
But
you see why, though, you know, it's a whole lot easier to drink the Kool-Aid when you see guys, and I mean, Auburn or not. I mean, how else would you describe these guys talent-wise if not some of the best we've ever had? They're all been, by every at least measurable means at this to this point, as far as how they've recruited, you know, they're recruiting stars, whatever you want to call that, and then what they've done since they've been there in terms of their workouts and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm almost fearful that there's not enough, like, you know, that old saying, there's not enough footballs to go around.
It's hard to imagine that they are, to be honest with you. You know, if all these guys live up to the hype that they have, you know, now, you know, obviously sometimes they don't pan out. But, you know, you keep hearing good things about a lot of these guys, you know. But now, again, you know, we've heard good things in the past, and it not necessarily worked out so much. You mentioned Trevon Reed, and I can remember Coach Taylor saying that D'Angelo Benton would probably set records at Auburn.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think he's going to set records, you know. I don't think it's going to happen for him. But now, can he be a great player this year? I think he can be. But
well,
now he's got a lot of good guys he's got to get in front of.
Well, no, but you're right. But he's got an opportunity, especially with Emory Blake out there, to take over, to be what they thought he was coming out of Louisiana, and to have the kind of year at his age, and again the size he can have the kind of year that puts him in the top two or three rounds of the NFL draft. He could have
right.
that kind of year. He's got that kind of potential. And I mean, like you say, Vic, that's just one guy. I mean, we got, you know, then you got Quan Bray and Trevon Reed and Sammy Coe and the Denson. I guess what I'm saying and what you're saying is, if a couple, two or three of these guys don't, it's not like you had only two guys or three guys and two of them and now you were down to one guy.
Right.
I mean, at some point, we're going to have failure from like four or five guys at a position not to have a guy in there that's all conference, you know, a type player. And I mean, I'm not that surprised by that because, again, if you go by, if recruiting means anything, and it obviously does mean some, I mean, again, not to give any credit over to Wes Vance more than we have to, but I mean, Coach Saban and them, they've recruited well, and they've won a lot of games the last few years. I mean, just because recruiting's not an exact science doesn't necessarily mean, though, that you can't still see a guy and know this guy can play. And
that's right. And as a general rule, you know, everybody has access to studying film, to like seeing everything. You know, there's a lot of good coaches out there, you know, but as a general rule, the team with the best players win the games. It don't happen every time. But the teams with the best players tend to win the games.
That's right.
And, you know, we've made fun of Les Miles over the years as far as not being that great of a coach. And I think the guy's probably a better coach than we want to give him credit for. But,
I think so.
You know, he won a lot of games because he had some really good players. So if you recruit at a high level, you know, and you know, you're going to have opportunities to win a lot of games. And you know, the exciting thing, Stan, is here we are. We've recruited on this level. We got a roster stacked full of highly rated players, and our best recruiting class is the one coming up.
Yeah, well, that's
the one we're fixing to sign is going to be the best recruiting class we've signed on paper, you know, which is all they ever are. But it's going to be the best one we sign. I mean, these guys are recruiting their tails off at Auburn, and man, I love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's so difficult to really almost comprehend because, I mean, for years, I mean, and Auburn's been good. Somebody pointed out, they were talking about, a friend of mine was saying, you know, we've had like three undefeated seasons in what, in the last 15 years?
Right.
Or whatever it is. And now we're recruiting better than we ever have, you know, so I...
Well, it's exciting times. It's exciting times to look forward to the future. Of course, right now, it's an exciting time because we got players. We got actual practice starting this week. This is also a big week because we've got a lot of recruiting stuff happening this week, I think. You know, there's a possibility of some recruiting stuff happening. So, it's, you know, boy, it's an exciting time right now getting ready for a football season.
Well, it is. And, you know, again, with obviously practice starting this week, and soon we'll have a lot of answers. And, I mean, before we know it, it'll be September 1st. You know, we'll be lining it up against Clemson, and we'll see. Obviously, if it doesn't go the way I think it is, I mean, I'll be taking a lot of hits and ridicule, but you know, I'm ready for that. I think we're going to beat Clemson. I think we're better than them. Maybe we're not better than every team on the schedule. Maybe. I want to see how we do against Clemson, how we turn around that next week in the morning, which I think helps us going to Starkville, playing a good Mississippi State team, a very good Mississippi State team, but not one that I think has got the players that we have. So it's going to be quick coming out the gate. If we start out 2-0, then I think you're going to see some real momentum, and that's also going to have meant, Vic, if we are 2-0, if we are, then some of these guys and some of this stuff that we've been asking about, some of those answers will be there.
Right, and they'll be positive answers. And then, you know, you're talking about guys that don't have a lot of experience, but after they played those two games, we come out on top. Now they've got a little bit of experience. They've got a little taste of what it takes to win, and they'll have beaten two pretty good football teams. So at that point in time, there's no reason why we can't continue on at a high level and you know, go into – getting ready to play LSU at home and have a great chance at that game. And if we win that game, you know, who knows what might happen, man. That would be special.
And that's really where some of my, if you want to know where some of my hypothesis and all that came from, you're playing two really good football games out of the chute. You're going to have to be good to win those first two games. So again, some of my premise is we do win them. We show that some of this young talent ready to play. You play Louisiana Monroe, you get another game of experience under you. Then you do host LSU, which again, with you know, the new quarterback at LSU coming into Auburn, there's been few times, at least in the last few years, when LSU came into Auburn and they were able to walk over us. I think if we're 3-0 going into that game, the excitement level in Auburn will be, you know, at the end of that day, it'll be interesting to see who comes off, which Tigers come off victorious. And after that game, we have a week off before, you know, Arkansas comes to town. Again, if you are 4-0, I think it'll be a different discussion about Auburn. I mean, it'll still be a long, long way from 14-0. I understand that. But
back in the old days, Stan, you know, the team with the best returning quarterback a lot of times was the team that people, you know, put a lot of stock in, you know, and Tyler Wilson at Arkansas is the best returning quarterback probably. And,
sure.
And you know, I mean, you know, that's going to be a tough opponent, you know, no doubt about it. But, you know, obviously with what's going on up there, who knows? You know, we'll know a little bit more about them as that gets there, you know. So.
Well, and I like the fact that they're coming to Auburn. I mean, I tell you what, Vic, last year, if you look at the games, playing at LSU, playing at Arkansas, you know, playing over at Georgia, I mean, those are tough. Those were really tough, and they were learning experiences for an extremely young team. The guys, just in one season, having played those games on the road, those guys we got playing, the Jeff Whitakers and everybody, they're not the same guys. You mix in Coach Leffler, you mix in Coach Van Gorder, and let's not forget Coach Martinez and the swagger he brings and what he's going to expect from the DBs. I mean, I will tell you this, more than the disappointment about not going 14-0, if our defense, which, by the way, I was going to throw this out. I don't know if you knew this, Vic. Last year, Auburn offensively, we finished 100th total offense in the country. We finished 100, and defensively, we finished 81st.
They did a pretty good job to be 8-5 from.
That's what I'm saying. So we go 8-5, and we had some rough games on the road. Had the huge win, of course, at Columbia, but to finish 100th in total offense and 81st in total defense with Coach Thigpen now coaching his natural position, Martinez working with Van Gorder, Coach Pelton has done an outstanding job. Kool-Aid aside, I'm going to be really disappointed if his defense is not a ton better. I mean, from 81st, I mean into the top 20 in the country of a defense. I'm not kidding you.
If that don't happen, who are we going to blame?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'll have to look at it.
We'll blame the fact that it's the first year under Van Gorder, and he needs a year of having his system in place, and the kids need a year of having played under his system. Or we can still say that we were pretty young, and we are still pretty young. You know, our defensive linemen, you know, two of the guys we're counting on are sophomores, and you know, a lot of those defensive backs are just sophomores. That's pretty young. You know, it's always, as a general rule, everybody being talented, juniors and seniors are going to beat freshmen and sophomores, you know. So.
Well, yeah. But I think we'll have to, and again, at the end of the season, we will evaluate. But I think you, if we don't have significant improvement, I'm going to have to look at, we're going to have to first thing look across the other side of the line of scrimmage and see how did the offense end up? Was it not what we thought it was going to be? And we you know, Stephen Clark had 30 punts a game, you know?
Right.
But what I'm saying is, those kind of things are going to have to be answered first before we just say, because
sure.
I don't think it's going to, I'm not saying we won't get better every year that Coach Van Gorder and Coach Martin and that staff stays together. But I think it's ready now. I mean, what Coach Chizik even showed that he could do with the time he had him and playing Virginia, and I understand that was Virginia, but still, we'd taken some. If you look at the last couple of weeks, we'd taken, you know, some 2 out of 3 weeks, we'd taken some severe thrashing from Georgia and Alabama.
Right.
And then we went in there. We probably shouldn't have had any confidence. I mean, you're coming off of, you know, your two biggest rivals handling you. And we went in there and played some pretty good defense against Virginia. So, with Coach Van Gorder having a spring and now this fall coming up, I don't know. I think you'd have to probably look at, you know, well, maybe some of these players are the – and, again, how many injuries are we going to have? One real key for me, Vic, is at linebacking. I don't think we can lose a Darren Bates. You know, Jake Holland can't go down.
Right.
I mean, we can probably just keep fighting if that happens. But realistically, there's a few places probably on the defensive side. I don't think the defensive line necessarily is that place because we're loaded there. I mean, loaded.
We just have to petition the NCAA to let us let Reuben Foster play for Auburn High School on Friday nights and then turn around and play for Auburn University on Saturdays. I think the guy's talented enough to do that, don't you?
I'm ready for him to come across and suit it up. Him and those three other guy commits. I'd be glad. I'd love to know that they had already signed.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's. But,
all right, so, let's go ahead and finish up your predictions for the SEC. Give me your winners, East and West, Stan.
Well, I mean, obviously, my running joke about 14-0. Obviously, I think Auburn's going to win the West and the SEC. Looked at it tonight again. I'm going to go with Georgia because of who they don't have to play. You know, I mean, I looked at Florida. I'm going to tell you, Vic, Florida's got an extremely tough schedule. And I actually, revisiting Tennessee, I'm thinking the Vols are going to be better than maybe people give them credit for. Having Tyler Bray, that Rodgers kid, Hunter kid, and then that receiver we tried to sign, Patterson, was that
Patterson.
Him, Vic?
Yeah, their
and
passing
then,
game may be hard to stop, man. I'm telling
I mean,
you, that's just
Tyler
guys
Bray.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he can sling it now. If they protect Tyler Bray, they're going to be hard to stop offensively. Now, I don't know what they'll have on defense, but offensively, they're going to be a load to stop. If they can protect Tyler Bray, you better watch out for Tennessee. That's a good point right there. They're going to be a dangerous team.
And they got all five of their starters have played like 2 years and are back. I mean, they've kind of got the offensive line like we had when Kent. I mean, these guys have played together. I think Tennessee's offense is going to be formidable. And I'll tell you right now, I think Muschamp, they open up with Bowling Green, Florida. Then they go to College Station. I'm telling you, Vic, that's going to be – I think the Gators are going to come out of there with a loss. I mean, I think Texas A&M is going to be tougher than maybe some people think. And then some people, I think they realize Texas A&M is a load. But then they go to College Station and they turn around the next week at a night game. I was told today in Knoxville. I think the Vols may get the Gators this time.
Yeah, it wouldn't be incredibly shocking. You know, I that's one of those things where. It's just, you know, you really have to pay attention. I kind of like South Carolina, to be honest with you, but I don't like their schedule.
Yeah, their schedule
is
brutal.
Their schedule's brutal, you know.
And, hey, look, they open up Thursday, August 30th in Nashville. I hope, you know, they've struggled with the Vanderbilt kind of games.
They have.
South Carolina has. And Franklin.
Who was it? They lost to Kentucky last year?
Yeah.
Did they lose to Kentucky? And they lost to us. I'm not
it may have been Kentucky. I'd have to look at it. I've got it over here. But
I'm not 100% sure either.
But the thing about it is, I mean, Franklin's got them people believing in. In fact, I mean, I'm worried about the trip to Nashville. I mean, this is not you. You know, you know the old saying. This is not your daddy's Vanderbilt.
That's right.
I mean, the Commodores are going to be ready for Steve. And if the Gamecocks come into Nashville, reading too much of their press, they'll come out of Nashville 0-1 and already behind the 8-ball.
Right.
So,
but I like South Carolina this year, but I just don't know if I can pick them because of their schedule. But I tell you what, I think Spurrier, he seemed very confident at the SEC media days, and maybe just because he's older and kind of mellowed out some. But he seemed confident, and I can remember back when he was at Florida, when he came to those SEC media days, and he seemed confident, you better watch out. So I don't know. I think South Carolina's going to be dangerous too. So that East is really kind of wide open. You got to go with Georgia probably simply because of Murray. But you know, they've had a lot of turmoil over there. A lot of players that they were counting on that's not, you know, that may have to sit out some games and things like that. And yeah, but it's
well, losing Crowell or whatever, however you pronounced it. I mean, he was a starting tailback.
Right.
But again, Georgia not having to play LSU, Arkansas, and Alabama, who are obviously three of the top teams in the West, along with Auburn, that gives them a little bit of an advantage. Like so, Keith, like I said, I'm going with Auburn and Georgia in a rematch. I guess.
Who's your fallback if Auburn don't make it in the West? LSU.
You know. Again, and look, I want you to look at Arkansas' schedule. Well, it kind of depends on if Auburn does lose, who do they lose to? If we lose to LSU conventionally and that Mecklenburg, whatever how you say his name, if he really is as good as they're saying coming out of Baton Rouge, LSU's obviously is going to be tough. I mean, Miles has had great recruiting. I mean LSU's going to be good. Arkansas, it would be tough. Alabama's got a chance to do what they've been doing. I mean, they, you know, again, the Michigan, see Alabama's in the same situation we are in, Vic. I mean, that Michigan game is a toss-up. And then they turn around like in a week or so later and play Arkansas over there.
Right.
I mean, Keith, the winner of that Alabama-Arkansas game is going to be, Arkansas's got a pretty favorable schedule.
Yeah, they do.
So you don't have a clear second place. You're saying you're going with Georgia in the East?
Yeah, I'm
going
to go with Georgia, but then I'm going to put South Carolina second.
I say watch out for Tennessee.
Okay. And then what about in the West, Vic?
Well, I'm going to have to go with, as much as I get excited about it, as much as I want to jump on that bandwagon with Stan. You know, I really think we're maybe a little bit of a year away as far as being able to say we're real good contenders to win the West. I'm going to have to go with LSU, and then I have Alabama as my second team there. I'm just afraid that, you know, those teams are still a little bit in front of us as far as having experienced talent, you know. And Alabama, I think their offensive line is just going to be a load, and I don't know if Eddie Lacy's going to be able to handle it like Trent Richardson did, but, you know, you're going to have to stop those guys, and McCarron proved last year he's a pretty good quarterback, and those receivers are pretty good. They're going to be hard to handle, I believe.
Okay. All right.
Let's add this one last thing. The only reason I'm not is maybe even as convinced for next year, even though we will, I think, in a lot of ways have a better team. It'll be another, I mean, that whole year older and all this new talent. The problem next year is going to be, again, going to Baton Rouge, going to Fayetteville, Arkansas, going to College Station, Texas, going to Athens, Georgia. If you can see four out of four.
I think Arkansas is fixing to drop back a little bit. After this year, if Tyler Wilson, I think they're going to drop back a little bit. I don't think they've recruited at the level that the Auburns, Alabamas, and LSUs have. I think that's going to be a three-team race in the West most years. Texas A&M might, you know, rise up occasionally. Arkansas will rise up occasionally. But I really think it's going to be a three-team race after this year. I will think that I think with the Arkansas game being in Auburn this year, I'm putting us ahead of those guys. thinking we can get a big win there. But, you know, I think they're going to drop back a little bit. So maybe that's a road game that we should be able to go to Fayetteville and win. So, you know, and I'm not willing to concede the fact that every other year we got a tough schedule, we can't win the West, you know. So I think we're recruiting at a high enough level that, you know, we can go on the road and win those games, or at least win enough of them that we can be Western Division champions, you know. So I'm looking forward to that point in time. But I think that this year, it's like Stan keeps talking about, those first two games are huge. I agree with that. You know, we'll have a chance, but I still don't think we're on Alabama and LSU's level yet. So,
well, and my argument, again, besides the big games at home, to me, it sets up a lot like 2 years ago, in that Alabama didn't just lose. I mean, they lost like seven, eight, whatever starters it was off of defense. They lost Trent Richardson, and also lost a couple of wide receivers. I mean, they've got some big time freshmen coming in, but again, I don't sell the farm because of freshmen necessarily, but I just think that's and then they have to go to LSU. They have to go to Arkansas. It could be that they end up beating us the last game in Tuscaloosa, where we're what, 6-1, but they may have stubbed their toe a couple like they did 2 years ago. So to me, it may come down to head to head what we can do that fourth game, and we'll see how good LSU is. I mean, I agree, they're going to be pretty good. I don't know if we'll know how good until at least they play Auburn, because again, playing Idaho and whoever it is, other than, I mean, the Washington game will probably be a pretty good test to see where LSU is.
I agree. But,
well, we're coming up on an hour. It's going to be hard for me to get all of our commercials squeezed in this week.
Well, let's not forget to mention Maxwell. Well, I guess that's Pro 17 Engineering for any of you folks out there that have any kind of civil engineering needs. I mean, the Pro 17 Engineering needs to be your first stop on Google. Am I right, Keith?
It should be. If you just search for whatever you need, we should show up anyway. But that's because of the work of the AuburnBusiness.com business over there, which is the one that's putting this AU fans site, keeping that going. But anyway, no, I appreciate that. I did not ask Stan to do that. He's done it. He's very consistent, though.
I mean, I think you should be. I think once we get this up to where we want it to be, and business people across the state are listening and across the region, and I mean obviously some of the recent stuff that you've done, we won't mention this week, but and I think, you know, I mean, I think Barry High School's behind us, aren't they, Vic?
Yeah, big time supporters, no doubt about it.
I mean,
I do want to mention the. The guy who I correctly identified first, our first fan, I think, War 34 Eagle. I don't really know who that is exactly, but I said last week we would mention him on the air if he identified the guy standing with you, Stan. And of course, he identified that as the great Pat Sullivan, personal friend of Stan's. So anyway, so I mentioned our fan. I guess he's officially our first fan, and may not be the only one. Hopefully, everybody else let us know. Give us a comment on the podcast page there. I've opened that up for comments, so we appreciate any of those. And if any of y'all want to get a vanity email or a vanity domain for your blog or your Facebook page or whatever, that'd be something you can do too. That'd help us out. Well, till next week, I guess we'll have some practice notes for next week.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, practice starts Wednesday, and I mean, all Auburn people are, and I've talked to a bunch of them, are excited. I know me and Vic always have been, always since our days together down there at Auburn. And I know there's millions like us, Vic. I mean, we love Auburn, and we love Auburn football in particular. And I mean, it's just right around the corner.
It sure is. I think next Sunday night we'll be talking about at least two more big time commitments to Auburn too, and our class is filling up fast. And that's exciting, and you got practice starting, that's exciting. So, man, it's great to be an Auburn Tiger, and it's great this time of year.
Yeah, it is. War Eagle, guys.
All right, appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. See ya.